September 24th, 2005. Item number 89. Today's guests are Walter and Tara from the Canine Cast.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into the interview with Walter and Tara, a couple quick news and notes. I moved! Ugh, I hate moving. Went and looked at it. This is the sixth place we've lived in the last 5 years. We've lived in four different houses and two different apartments, so we've packed and unpacked five times during that period. I was talking to Wichita the other day, and he reminded me that moving is the second most stressful thing in your life next to a funeral. It's been a fun 5 years, so hopefully we're going to be here for a while, and I'll be able to set up a studio shortly. Speaking of which, we have a tech tip here talking about sound acoustics from Michael Carino. So here is our tech tip.
I'm Michael Carino from DigitalMediaCastExperiment.com with another podcast 411 tech tip. In these days of inexpensive digital audio equipment, even the experts like my friend Chris Jensen is amazed at how little it costs to get really professional digital sound. But for one issue, the room. For a couple of $1,000s, you can purchase equipment that would have made a young Keith Richards or Roger Waters green with envy. But the thing that ends up plaguing today's podcasters the most are probably the rooms in which they record. Most rooms in most houses are rectangular, which means the parallel walls allow sound to bounce off of each other, much like a cartoon character who reflects so hard he hits himself in his own head. These are called standing waves, and you can check for standing waves in a room by simply clapping once and then listening for how long it takes for the sound to dissipate. And if you remember your geometry, the right angle corners do even more to bounce the wave back into play. Sound treating a room can be somewhat expensive, but there are a few things you can do to get the most non-bang for your buck. First, treat one wall per facing walls. It takes only one wall of two facing to stop the bouncing. Also, treat corners. Corners have a really nasty way of compounding waves, forcing them back into play. Sometimes treating only the corners can make a world of difference. While soft things are usually considered to be the best for absorbing sound, sometimes just breaking up the sound does a lot. One trick audio folks have been using for years is to put egg cartons on the wall because they both absorb and break up the sound. Also, if you record at a table, try a heavy tablecloth to cut down on the ringing in the room. Good luck sound treating your room, and thank you, Rob, for letting me speak with your audience.
Well, Michael, thank you for that tech tip, as always. It is really relevant for me, as I just had to reset up my equipment moving into the new house, and yes, I picked a rectangular room for my temporary office, and there's nothing on the walls, and it's very echoey in here. And I will be working at least putting curtains up on the walls in the area, and I'll try some stuff in the corners. Thanks for the advice. Well, we're going to go ahead and get into our interview with Walter and Tara from the Canine Cast. Here we go. Tara and Walter, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're glad to be here.
And I'll throw this my traditional first question to both of you, and that is, what was your first computer?
I don't know what my first computer was. It was my parents' computer, and I was really young, and I can't ask them because they wouldn't know at this point. But the first one that I remember using are the Apple IIe's that were in the schools back in the 80s.
Yeah, and I guess technically the first computer that was called my own, although I think I had to share it with my brothers, was a Tandy Color Computer 3.
Ah, the Coco. Yep. That was mine. Mine was the Coco.
Oh, really?
Yep. We had a few people recently that had Cocos for their first computer. With the horrible little chiclet keyboard.
Oh, man. And, well, did you, was most of your software, did you get the cartridges or were you getting tapes?
Both. I had some on cartridge, but most of it was tapes and I was swapping out with friends.
What a nightmare, actually running programs from a tape.
Oh, it was horrible. Now, here's a question that will be specific that has to do with your show, and that would be, what was your first dogs?
The first dog that I ever, I guess lived with or was in my household was my mother's dog, and he was 10 years old already when I was born. So that was the first dog that I knew. My first dog that was considered mine was my Labrador Pepper that we got when I was 10 years old. But she was really the family dog. When I went off to college, I asked if I could take her, and I was told, no, absolutely not.
Now, let's go back to podcasting a little bit here. And what was the first podcast you guys listened to?
The first podcast I actually listened to was the Engadget podcast back when Philip Terone was co-hosting it.
No, all the way back late 2004.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Back in the dark ages of podcasting.
Yep, that was one of the very first ones I listened to. It was in that first day of listening to him, that was one of them.
I can't really give you an answer as to my first one, because the first time that Walter played podcasts for me, it was about 6 in the morning, and I was waiting to go into minor surgery, so I was really out of it. And I was kind of nervous, so he's playing a bunch for me to kind of calm me down. But the first one that I remember hearing was the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd. Because that one really, really stuck in my mind out of that whole group that he played for me. So that's why I remembered the name of it.
A lot of people I've talked with really like that one. I haven't listened to it yet, but I've heard very good things about that one.
You'll love it.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. That still is my favorite. And the day that it comes out every week, I'm there. It's the first show that I listen to.
What podcasts are you guys listening to now on a regular basis?
I'm hitting Don and Drew, Daily Source Code, Podcast 411, MommyCast. The list is pretty extensive. Another one, a couple audio blog podcasts. One is called Eblo, the weblog, a variety. I mean, I have a lot of time to myself in the car and around the house, so we fill a lot of time with as many podcasts as we can, try to listen to as many news as we can, too.
My list kind of closely mirrors Walter's, actually. I said the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd. I listen to Free Talk Live, and I guess I would say I spend most of my time listening to that because they produce 2 hours every day. Other than that, I listen to Eat Feed, MommyCast. I love. I'm not a mommy yet, but it's just a really good show. I just enjoy it. Also, like Walter said, Eblo, the weblog. Oh, and the Catholic Insider. That's one that I really, really enjoy as well.
Father Roderick.
I also couldn't get away without saying that I also listen to the 2600 Off the Hook radio show converted to podcast, and also check out all the Escape Pod magazine podcasts.
Let's talk about your podcast now. What will people hear when they tune into your show?
Basically, our podcast is all about dogs. Anything canine is fair game. So we include things such as training tips, stories and questions from listeners, different stories about dogs and things that are affecting dogs. We basically want our show to be a vehicle to help educate people about dogs, better ways to take care of them, different things that they can do with them, just things to increase the quality of life and their bond with their dogs. Really, basically, just about responsible ownership.
Murr from Geek Fu Action Grip has this question for you. The only thing wrong with my dog is she is hyper and can't calm down, especially when people come over. She stays out of our bedroom, doesn't chew on anything except her own toys, doesn't jump up, doesn't pee or poop indoors, so she's a really good, smart dog. She just can't calm the, expletive down. What can she do to help calm the dog down? Now, I'm guessing you're going to go into this half-hour stay that you talked about on one of your shows.
Actually, that's so cool that you just said that. Walter already brought up which show I talked about it on, because he knows that, yes, that's one thing that I'm going to mention. But the other thing that's very important and that's easily overlooked, especially if you have a dog with a lot of energy, is that most dogs were bred to do a job and go be active all day. So I don't know what kind of dog this is, but most dogs these days that are house pets tend to be under-exercised. So the best things that you can do are, first of all, to give the dog more exercise, and that can be accomplished in a variety of ways, whether the person wants to take the dog jogging or take it on longer walks or go play ball in the yard. Well, and aside from the exercise, in Canine Cast number 19, we talked about the 30-minute downstay that you had mentioned. That is a great tool. It's my favorite training tool, just in general, because it does so much for dogs. It tends to calm down dogs that are overexcited and hyper. Conversely, it tends to build the confidence of dogs that are a little bit shy or timid, because basically what it does is it gives the dog 30 minutes of mental stimulation, which is actually much more tiring for them than physically running around. Basically, when they concentrate on one thing for that long, it kind of tires them out, but it also gives them something else to focus on. So I would say the combination of exercise and the 30-minute downstay are the first things that I would try. And as I had mentioned actually on that show, we had a German Shepherd here that was off the wall for a little while. He was a stray, and within 2 days, I was working with him on the 30-minute downstay, and he was a completely calm, almost different dog. The change in him shocked me.
How does that 30-minute downstay work? You tell the dog to stay. You don't treat it until the end, or do you not even treat it at the end?
The way that you want to do it is you first of all want to teach the dog to do a down, and what you'll do is once they know that, you'll just go ahead and put them in the down, and you tell them to stay. Now, normally dogs, especially when you're first starting out on this, aren't going to just stay there for 30 minutes. They'll most likely get up. If you're quick and you can kind of see them getting restless, you can tell them something. You can remind them, stay, tell them good stay. A lot of times that will keep them from getting up. If they do get up, then you'll want to just put them back in the down. And at this point, you're not treating them for going back in the down. You're just going to put them back there. And the whole time that you're doing this, of course, you will want to be right there with your dog so that it can't get up and run away. It's also a good idea to have a lead on the dog so you can kind of hold on to it. So it's really a good idea to just kind of sit yourself down in front of a 30-minute television program. Do it for the duration of the program. Just go ahead, and as many times as they get up, just put them back down. It doesn't, you know, not roughly or anything, just very gently put them back in the down position and continue that until the 30 minutes is up. Normally, after about the first 5 or 10 minutes of them trying to get up and you putting them back into the down, they'll kind of get the idea and say, okay, and then they'll fall asleep or something, and that's fine, just so long as they stay down until you've told them that they can get back up. Now, before you release them at the end of their stay, before you let them get back up and go back to doing whatever it is they want to do, that would be the point at which you treat them and you make a big fuss over them and tell them how wonderful they are.
Okay. And you do this every day, every other day?
The way that I do it, when I first start out with a dog doing this, yes, I do it every day. And I'll even sometimes do it multiple times a day. For example, if it's a dog that is very overexcited and hyper, then I'll go ahead and do it with the dog. And normally that, you know, they'll be kind of calmer. But if they get out of control again, then I'll just go ahead and do it again. But a good rule is to do it once every day until they kind of know what it is and they understand it. And until you've seen it help have the desired effect, whether that be to calm them down or kind of make them a little bit less timid.
Okay.
Now, after the initial time of doing that, it's still a good idea to do it a few times a week. And what we do is our dogs do their downstay, their long downstay every day while we're eating dinner, because that way they're not under the table begging. It makes it easier. And actually, after we did that show, about a week later, we got an email from a listener she actually has 4 dogs, but one of them is young and pretty energetic. And she said that she started doing the 30-minute downstay, and it's worked wonders with keeping her dog calmer after they come in from their walk every night.
And nothing else worked.
And if you really want to find out more about the downstay, then they just need to tune in to episode 19 of the Canine Cast. And your site is located at caninecast.com, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Coming up in future shows, what are some of the things your listeners can look forward to?
We actually have a few questions and comments that have been sent in by listeners that we haven't had a chance to get to yet. We have some books that we've reviewed, and some other ones that we are going to review that we will be bringing up. We'll be talking about different forms of hygiene for your dog, such as a great method for keeping their nails short, which is something that dog owners can do but can be kind of daunting at the beginning.
Now, I have a couple questions here for Walter. And yours, Walter, is one of the first podcasts to really utilize chapters in the enhanced podcasting format. What made you decide to do that? What got you interested in using that feature?
When iTunes 4.9 was released and I saw the Podfinder, it was iTunes New Music Tuesday podcast was the first one enhanced podcast I saw. And sitting there looking at the iTunes New Music Tuesday podcast and how they had broken it up, the songs by chapter, provided the links to the actual songs to hear the whole song, and actually provided the graphics for the album art to display as the songs were being played, I was instantly inspired and said, my podcast needs to have these features in it. The listeners could stand to benefit greatly from it. I said, you know, we're a dog podcast where we're talking about a variety of issues, so many different topics. It's not like an actual daily event show. It's not like a show about one particular technical craft. But what we're doing is we're putting together a sort of library of dog information in audio format in the long term. I mean, we already have 23 shows. And I said, our listeners are going to need to find a way to be able to get back to some topics, some information. They're going to say, I want to hear about that doggy disaster kit. Where is that? Well, that's in Canine Cast, Episode 5, Chapter 4. You hit it almost immediately. You're in iTunes, you're an iPodder, you download the episode, and you get it into iTunes. You can use the chapter browser, and immediately you're listening to that topic. So coming from our standpoint, chapters alone made it worth the effort to put together an enhanced podcast. Of course, there are other additional benefits as well, like having the images to illustrate the points that we're talking about or share pictures of dogs. Like we talked about Katrina, we put all the newswire photos in the enhanced podcast and just kind of did a little slideshow of them as we talked about Noah's Wish, the charity that we were kind of showcasing in that one episode, for example. And of course, the links benefit, being able to link directly to, like in that episode, we were talking about Noah's Wish. Right in the podcast, people could click right there and find out more about the charity.
You mentioned it's worth the extra work. How much extra work do you think it is, time-wise, for you to do the enhanced podcast?
Well, that's interesting that you said that, because just today was the first meeting of our local podcasting group. A couple of other podcasters in the area decided to get together and meet. I was sitting there talking with one of the other podcasters who has a podcast called The Land of Sand Audio. He does a music podcast, and I was like, look, you know, enhanced podcasting really could be perfect for you, because as a music podcaster, you could be playing your songs, showing the album art, linking to an affiliate link to the music, you know, to share the music with people and also help support your show right in the enhanced podcast. And I said, look at how long this is going to take you. I went to his website on the show notes, copied the link for the artist, copied the artist graphics from the website, went to an XML file that I had pre-generated and copied and pasted that into it, grabbed his podcast, which happened to already be in the correct format, converting it takes a few minutes, and merged the files to make a one-chapter podcast in under 5 minutes. I would say, and it impressed him, of course, we've been putting together enhanced podcasts for weeks now, but I would say that once you get through the learning curve, and if you already have show notes with the time code and, you know, the links and things like that already in front of you, it's really only going to take you an extra, depending on the length of your show and however many chapters and album art changes you have, I would say an extra 20 to 30 minutes on average.
What are you guys doing from any unique perspective to help promote your show outside of, say, the podcasting environment?
One of the recent things that we were doing that kind of helped kind of, that was something that was outside of the podcasting environment that ended up being kind of a show promotion was we're working on a review of a dog simulation video game called Nintendogs, and we're going around and trying to find people who are playing the game and, you know, kind of place multi-dog player with them. I'm not exactly sure the term, with our copy of the game. And, of course, they're like, you know, what are you guys doing out here? You know, we start talking about, you know, Canine Cast right away with these people, and they're just like, oh, that's very interesting. You know, they're already tech savvy, and having video game console just a few clicks away from finding out about podcasts and, of course, our show.
What advice would you like to offer to those looking to start a podcast today?
We wanted to do this podcast in January. Can you imagine? We wanted to do this podcast in January, and I was telling Tara, listen, okay, you talk about dogs all the time. All right, people have passions. I know it's cliche, but it's a matter of the fact that we wanted to do this in January. I had done audio blogs and kind of experimented in podcasts, but it took us until June to do it. So the bottom line really is, don't put it off any longer. Get your voice out there. Doesn't matter what the subject is. Stuff is in your head that you're interested in. It'll take shape over time. But the bottom line is once you get into the habit of creating the podcast, that's when your overall, like once you have, you know, a dozen episodes or two dozen episodes of a podcast, I think you can really look back and say, you know, this is the direction I want to go in. I don't think anybody can say from episode one, this is how my show is going to be every single time.
Well, anything else before we wrap this up here?
Yes. Well, I always end my show with the same message. So if you don't mind, I'd like to share that here. And that is, if you haven't already, please spay or neuter your dog, because it's the best thing that you can do for your furry friend.
Well, Tara and Walter, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. It's been a blast.
A pleasure.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Tara and Walter from the Canine Cast. You can check out their podcast at caninecast.com. And if you have a dog or you are interested in getting a dog, I highly recommend you check out this podcast. Very informative, very well done. That's going to do it for us today. We're going to end today's show playing a promo from the Paranormal Podcast, so please stick around for that. This is your host, Rob, from Podcast 411, as always, reminding you to listen different.
My name is X246ZY7 from the planet Dotopia. And when I'm in your rather primitive solar system, I go to paranormalpodcast.com and set my podcast aggregator to Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold. Finally, a show about me.
Well, sort of. At Paranormal Podcast, we interview authors and experts from around the world about everything from UFOs and ghosts to the existence of life after death. Are crop circles real? Is there scientific explanations for the Bermuda Triangle phenomena? Learn this and so much more on the Paranormal Podcast. Now, we take our subject matter seriously, but we have fun too. Even skeptics are welcome. So please subscribe. It's free. You can find us at Podcast Alley, the iTunes Music Store, or at ParanormalPodcast.com. Take a listen. Open your mind.